As was read for us just a moment ago by David, John chapter 13. You're familiar with this story. our text this morning actually goes through verse 17. But as by way of background, and the reason for this is because there are some lessons that we can learn from this based upon what our Lord did for His disciples. Jesus, as John records for us here, has performed for His disciples several things, but this is perhaps the last act of service that He records for us prior to His trial and His crucifixion. It's something He does for His disciples. Now, He had come into Jerusalem. He wants to celebrate the Passover, so He sent Peter and John ahead to prepare and get everything ready, and that's exactly what they've done, as Luke records for us in chapter 22 and verse 8 of his gospel. And then, during the meal, Jesus gets up from the supper. He takes off His outer garment. He takes a towel. He ties it around His waist. He takes a basin of water, and He begins with the first of the disciples washing their feet. And then he would take the towel and dry their feet after He had washed. And He'd move through and do each of the disciples. You may remember He comes to Peter. And Peter resists at first. "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, you have no part in me." And of course, Peter says, "Well, not just my feet, my hands and my head also." And of course, Jesus tells him, "You have no need that I do all of that." But He had also told him that if I don't wash your feet, you have, as I said, no part with me. And so Jesus is able to wash all of His disciples' feet. And when He finishes washing their feet, he takes the towel off and He puts His outer garment back on and He sits down and He looks at them and He asks them a question. He says, "Do you know what I've done for you?" Well, that wasn't hard to figure out. "Well, yeah, you've washed our feet." But is that really what He wants them to pick up from that? They all knew what He had done. He'd washed their feet, but He wanted them to know something more. Something of which I think the washing of the feet was only a symbolic act, an object lesson, as you teachers would sometimes say, to teach a greater principle. And that's what I think He's doing here. I do not believe that Jesus is teaching that we need to go about washing one another's feet as a part of a church service. And I say that because it's not taught anywhere else in Scripture. None of the disciples in their writings write about it or indicate it. It's something that was practiced within the church. As a matter of fact, the only other place that we really find it mentioned is in something that Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, in which he commends the widows who have washed the saints' feet. But he's not referring to something that the church is practicing. No, he's saying, this is something to look for. Has she performed service for the saints, for other believers, in order to be cared for by the church? Peter doesn't say anything about it, but what Peter does say over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, is this. He says, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Folks, I believe this is what Jesus is really teaching, is humility and humble service toward our brothers and our sisters in Christ and toward those that we encounter in our community. And I say that because of what the disciples themselves have been struggling with. We've seen it. I've actually had two lessons on it out of Mark's gospel. They have been arguing about and trying to wrestle with who's the greatest among them. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration all the way back up in Caesarea Philippi, it was an issue that they struggled with. And when He went to Capernaum, He sat down with them, asked them what they'd been arguing about on the way. They didn't want to tell Him. And so He takes a child, calls him into their midst, and there He uses the child to teach a lesson of service. And now, while John does not bring it out, Luke does, right here at the Passover meal, while they're in this very meal together, they're arguing about trying to figure out who's still the greatest. And I think that the reason that Jesus does what He does is to say, listen, it's not about who's the greatest. It's about who's the servant. And so when He asks them this, there is something He's trying to teach. It's an object lesson simply used to communicate a greater truth. And out of that truth, there are three things I want you to consider tonight, or this morning, questions that we're going to ask. Number one, what are we doing when we wash the feet of others? And when I use this term, wash the feet, or washing one another's feet, I'm not talking about a literal foot washing. What I am talking about is when we render service to others, when we humbly reach out and do good to those around us. What is it that we are doing for them when we do that? And secondly, how do we go about washing feet or rendering service? And then finally, why should we even do it? What is the motivation behind it? So let's begin by looking at this concept of what are we doing when we wash the feet of others? When you and I perform some act of service, when we out of humility reach out and do good to those around us, we are actually doing something that we may not even realize at the time we're doing. And that is that we are refreshing and encouraging others. You know, physically, the washing of your feet when they're dirty is refreshing, is it not? Some of you are, you know, few of us, maybe I should say, let me back up. Few of us like to have our feet covered with dust and dirt unless we're children running around in the summer barefooted or in sandals. I can remember as a child that was the way I spent many of my summers. And my mother would always fuss at me, go wash those feet. But others of you who are older may remember days gone by before paved roads, when you walked up and down a dusty road and most of your travel was on foot, and that dust would stir up in those hot, dry summers and it just seemed to cake on. Some of you will remember your fathers coming in from plowing the field behind a team of mules or busting the middles, as we used to say, and just caked with dust and dirt. And yet, there would be those streaks that from the sweat had run down the face or down the arms that cleared little tracks. And wasn't it refreshing to come in, whether you're that child or that individual that's been walking that road or that one that's been plowing behind that team of mules, and to take the time to wash that dust and that dirt off of your face and your arms and your feet? It brought refreshment. And in Jesus' day, it was no different. To walk the dusty roads of Palestine from here to there or wherever they were going, and then to go into someone's house, and for the slave of the home or an individual in the family to take the time to remove the sandals and to wash the feet was a refreshing act. But what about spiritually and emotionally speaking? It's the same. The humble service that we render, what we do for others, is equally refreshing for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, right at the end of Peter's letter to the church at Corinth, there in verse 17, Paul writes of three men. He names them Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. And he said they had come to him there in the Corinthian church, and he makes the point, or from the Corinthian church, and he makes the point in verse 18 that they had refreshed my spirit and yours. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there in verse 13, Paul writes of how Titus had been refreshed by the brethren from that same great congregation. And yet in Paul's personal letter to a man that we know as Philemon, he commends his brother in Christ because, as he says in verse 7 of that letter, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And then right toward the end of the letter, in verse 20, he says to Philemon, he asks him, he says, let me benefit in the Lord, or let me benefit from you in the Lord. And he says, refresh my heart in Christ. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, a person that when you're in their presence, when you're around them, they pick you up, they lift you up spiritually and emotionally. They encourage you. They give you a reason for living so that when you've left them, you feel a better person because you've been around them. Folks, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we are called to do. We are to be that breath of fresh air in a world that is dank with just all of the bad things going on. We're to be that light that continues to shine in a dark world. We are to be the people who, when others are around us, they leave feeling better than when they first came. Because they see in us hope. They see a joy in us. They see us as a people who have a purpose in life. And we are here to encourage them. But then, let me ask you this. How do we go about washing feet? How do we do this for other people? Well, it's really very simple. We do it by being humble servants of our Lord. Pretty easy. In verse 16, here in John chapter 13, if you'll notice something here that Jesus says, He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." And there's no doubt here about who Jesus is talking about when He talks about the master and the slave. Jesus is the master. There's no question about that. His disciples twice in this passage that is before us today call Him teacher and Lord. They recognized that He is the master. But then who are the slaves? We are. We're the slaves. We are the ones who have given our lives in service to Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, who have exchanged service to Satan for service to God. And Jesus gives us commands, just as He did His disciples, that we are to obey without any questioning, without any grumbling. In Jesus' day, any task that a slave was given to do, he or she was to do without questioning it, because they had a master they were responsible to. And nothing was below their dignity, including the washing of feet. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some people's feet that just stink. Right? You know that. When they pull the shoes and the socks off at the end of the day, there is a distinct odor that suddenly begins to fill the area around them. And it's the feet. And until they're washed, they continue to smell. And I asked, I said, something Hope asked me this morning. She said, "What you preaching about today?" I said, "Have you washed any feet lately?" She said, "Yeah, I washed my own." We don't mind washing our own feet, but to wash somebody else's feet when they smell like that, it may be a little more difficult, a little more unpleasant. And we're to humbly serve others. And at times it may be an unpleasant task or chore, but it's something we still do. You know, those that we're going to honor in 1 month serve us in this community. And there are times they are called to perform very unpleasant tasks. And yet they do it. They do it because that's what they do. That's what they chose to do. Obedience requires more than just doing something. While we grumble and complain under our breath, it requires that we do it cheerfully, that we do it thankfully, because we are doing it out of love for what our Lord has done for us on the cross. And our response is, "How could I do anything less?" It is the motivation behind all that we do in serving others. And not only that, not only do we do it without grumbling or complaining, we do it without expecting anything in return. We are not doing what we hope to do in 1 month so that if they won't pull you over and give you a ticket, or if they do pull you over, they'll let you go with just a warning. We're not doing it so that you might get something or any of us might get something back from it, but we're doing it because we want to say we appreciate you. And seldom, if ever, would a guest in someone's house in Jesus' day have thanked a slave for washing their feet. That was expected. That's what slaves do. They wash feet. And have you ever thought about it? We have no indication that any of the disciples for whom Jesus washed their feet that evening ever said, "Thank you. Thank you for washing my feet." I don't know if it's just not recorded for us. if they neglected to say it, if they were too astonished at what he was doing, too taken back, too humbled to say anything, but there's no indication that any of them said anything in the way of gratitude. And we need to serve others around us in our community without looking for anything in return for what we do. We don't serve others hoping that they will recognize what we've done and say, oh, thank you. Not only that, do you realize that Jesus even washed Judas' feet and Judas went out that night and betrayed him? Jesus washed Peter's feet, and what did Peter do just a few hours later? I don't know the man. Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet, and what did they do? They fled from the garden. After what he had done for them, that was the way they responded. I can promise you this. If you truly choose to humbly serve Christ, you will not receive the appreciation you deserve from those you serve. But if we remember, it is ultimately Christ that we serve, and that He will confess us before His Father, which is in heaven, then any service we render here upon this earth will receive its due thanksgiving, and even more on that last day. But then one final question, why? Why do it? Why should we wash one another's feet? Well, because our Lord and Teacher washed our feet. Oh, he didn't physically get a pan and a basin and wash feet. But if you'll notice verse 14, Jesus said to his disciples, if I then, the Lord and Teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What has Jesus done for you? He's cleansed your sins. Through his death on the cross, he took your sins and he bore them and he took them away. He washed them, if you will. He who is gentle and humble in heart went to the cross on your behalf. He who humbled himself by becoming, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, came and took care of you through his life. And we serve others because our Lord, who is the master, the true master of the universe, served us. Because our teacher who taught us how to live has taught us how to serve our fellow man. And simply put, our salvation is the reason that we serve Jesus Christ. It's the reason that we do for Him what we do. He bought you. That's what Paul says. He bought you with his own blood. And now you belong to him. You're his servant. Because you gave your life to him in obedient faith. And he cleansed you and he took that away. And he now, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 16, that verse 20, we are to glorify God in our bodies and in the service that we render. And Jesus said, if you know these things, verse 17 of John 13, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. What do we know? What has Jesus said? He said, first of all, that the servant's not greater than his master. We understand that. We know that. He also said that he has given us an example for us to follow. We know that, and we understand that we are to follow in his example. Now the question is, will you do that that Jesus has given you to do? If we do, he promises to bless us. And folks, when Jesus blesses us, we have fully been blessed. What am I trying to say with all this morning? As I said, in 1 month, we have an opportunity to take this lesson and the principle that I've tried to share with you this morning and put it into practice. All of these different individuals, I don't know how many will come. I know how many we've invited. We've invited somewhere around 213 people. And that's just individuals that actually work in these departments, not counting families. And we want to feed them and we want to honor them. And we're hoping that they will join us for worship, as I said. But even if they don't, we still want to recognize and honor them. But this morning, the question I have for you is this. Will you not today give your life in total service to that individual who gave his life for you? The one who's the greatest servant of all. You know, our song this morning, our invitation song, is this: Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calleth. It falls tenderly upon our ear. What's He doing? He's calling us. He's calling us to come and to be His. What about you? Have you given your life to Him in obedient faith? Are you His child? He wants you to be His. He has done everything He can to take away your sin. You must respond to His call by confessing Him as Lord and Savior and being buried with Him in baptism, having repented of your sins, that is, turning away from them. If you need to respond, please, won't you come as together we stand and sing.